We've all seen it. People out of control with anger. They drive dangerously. They start fights. But where does this rage come from? Winning in life's race means getting rage under control. Today, we probe the source of a destructive emotion and point the way out of living with habitual anger. If you're driving, watch out for the other guy's road rage. And for now, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Dr. Lutzer comes now to tell us about the roots of rage.
Bobby Knight was a basketball coach, quite famous actually, who was fired because of his hot temper. One of the columnists writing in a newspaper said that he worked himself into a competitive lather. And because he was out of control, he was out of a job. Anger is a very common emotion. As a matter of fact, one of the things that unifies us is that we have all felt anger. Could I say that if you have not been at some time angry, and I mean good and angry, you probably have never really lived, because all of us have been angry. Let me begin by talking about some introductory comments about anger. First of all, not all anger is sin. When angry, do not sin, the Bible says in Ephesians 4. It's possible to be angry without sinning. It says in Mark chapter 3 that Jesus Christ looked about in the synagogue, and when he saw the hardness of their hearts, he was livid with anger. Jesus was angry. God, the Bible says, is angry with the wicked every day, it says in the Psalms. So not all anger is sin. Yes, it is possible to be good and angry. Let me give you a second observation, and that is that anger, however, does distort our perceptions. You think of someone who, in a fit of rage, decides that because of a custody battle or whatever, he's going to kill his wife, and so he shoots her, and maybe he shoots the kids too. It happens all the time. Often think of those people waking up in prison every morning of their lives, for the rest of their lives, regretting deeply what they've done in a moment of anger. Let me tell you something. It's possible to do in a moment what an entire lifetime cannot recapture or recover. Let me say also that most anger is masked. It is unseen. There's an awful lot of anger that is beneath the surface. You know, you speak to those even who have been doing the massacres. I'm talking about the high school kids in our high schools in America. Oftentimes the parents say, "I didn't know that he was that angry," because a lot of it is hidden. There was a man by the name of Mark Barton who killed his wife, I believe, and his children, and several other people. And a neighbor said of him, "He was such a good role model, it makes you wonder whether you know anyone anymore." And I tell you today that you have no idea of the anger that might be existing in the heart of someone who is sitting next to you. Most of it is masked. Well, as you know, this is a series of messages titled, Why Good People Do Bad Things. And we've spoken about things such as, first of all, lost in a house of mirrors, how we have this challenge before us of finding out who we are. And we're all going around looking for a mirror that makes us look good. And the whole question of identity lies at the heart of behavior. A second message was entitled, Deceived and Loving It. And I pointed out that we are not rationally driven, though we think we are. We are basically desire-driven. We are deceived because we want to be deceived. Our heart longs to be deceived so it can do whatever it wants to do. Last time we spoke about shame, the two different kinds of shame, and God's cure for shame, which lies at the root of many problems that people have. Well, today it's anger. It is anger. And I need to begin by talking about domestic violence. Some of you may say, well, you know, that's not a big problem, especially among folks who are connected to Moody Church. We're all so nice, aren't we? Yeah, aren't we? According to Everett Koop, who was the Surgeon General of the United States, it is the number one health problem. And did you realize that 1/3 of all women who come to emergency wards or doctor offices for immediate treatment come because of domestic violence? They have been abused. They have been battered. Now, of course, it's very difficult to come up with a profile of an abuser. Very difficult. Because they're so nice, they're so charming, they can be so lovable, they can be funny. And then suddenly, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, they suddenly switch, become violent and angry and irrational. And because of that, that's one reason why women marry men not knowing that they are abusers until the honeymoon. There's such things as physical violence, slapping, pushing, hitting, choking. And then, of course, there is those verbal and emotional abuse that takes place among those who perhaps would never physically do violence, but emotionally the damage is the same or greater. Cursing, threats, economic punishment. How do you like that for a euphemism? Economic punishment. That's where the wife has to go to the husband for every dime that she gets. You come to me and I'll dish out the money, and after I've done it, you'd better report to me on how you spent the last $5 I gave you. That's all anger that's masked. It's economic punishment, trying to humiliate her. Don't ever lose sight of the goal that an abuser has. It is to destabilize his wife so that she will keep it a secret, so that you will be taking total responsibility for it, because you see, in his mind, what he's saying is, you made me slap you. It's your fault. So that she's going to take the responsibility, and also so that if she goes for help, he so beats her down that she concludes that no one would believe her anyway. So I need to tell you this today, you wives. If you come to us as members of the pastoral staff, we will believe you. We will believe your story. Whatever you do, get some help. Now, the question, of course, is this. What about anger? What does the Bible have to say about it? You know, the Bible is so accurate, it's just incredible. As I open its pages, I'm always reminded this has to be a book from God. There is no other book that you can produce in the world that will tell the truth about us like the Bible tells the truth about us. It can shine a flashlight on the human heart, and then we read it and we say, yes, that is true to my experience. Because there are two different kinds of anger, and the Bible refers to both of them, in fact, even in one verse. Notice, for example, Ephesians chapter 4, and we shall begin there, and then I shall ask you to turn to one other story in the Bible today. Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness." Now, notice it, everyone awake at this juncture. "All bitterness, rage." That's the Greek word thumos. Let me talk to you about that word rage. If there was an animal that would, describe the word, it would be the pit bull. It's rage. You know, I just fly off the handle and I just let them have it. And when I'm finished, you know, I'm finished. But that's just the way I am. I put my fist through walls and sure, I slapped her, but that was just momentary. And now everything's fine, isn't it? What's the big deal? But the pit bull leaves an awful lot of damage behind, and nothing is ever quite the same again. He may ask forgiveness, but he's going to do it again. When you ask forgiveness of an abuser, when he asks forgiveness, accept it as you might the promise of an alcoholic, "I'll never drink again." Because the roots of rage, as we shall see today, go much deeper than simply a promise to reform. But that's the Greek word that is used here, thumos. It is rage, and then notice another word is referred to, anger. That's orge. Anger is resentment. Anger is the person who doesn't have any outward signs necessarily. He's not physically abusing, but he loves to plot revenge. So what he does is he methodically, without any emotion, begins to figure out ways in which he can get by and get back. And he is very insistent on revenge. And so you never know what he's up to, because he does it without any emotion. If there'd be an animal that would represent him, it would be the cobra. You assess the situation, you find out what you can do, and then in a subtle way you squeeze them to death. Now the question is, what are the roots of rage? What makes people out of control? Why is it that you have people who are so nice, who adore their wives one moment and then lash out in anger in the next, in an unpredictable way? And unpredictability is very important to the abuser, because he destabilizes his wife and keeps her off balance emotionally and spiritually and physically, maybe as well. And when we look at the roots of rage, even those of us who aren't abusers, we need to look at our own hearts, because at the end of the day, we're going to find something in God's Word that is very applicable to us all. It's a promise. Let's begin the journey. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, where things got started. We've been in Genesis before in this series, because if you understand the first few chapters of Genesis, you will discover that you understand the roots of a lot of problems. Well, my friend, we didn't get an opportunity to get into the book of Genesis today, but we will next time, as we go to chapter 4 and find out all about Cain and the rage that he had against his brother. Here at the Moody Church, we have a group of women who have formed an organization to help other women who have suffered from domestic abuse. We're not proud of the fact that we as a church need an organization, or shall I say a committee, a helpful committee that is able to help those who are in such a predicament. But facts are facts. And one of the things that we have uncovered is that abuse exists everywhere. Sometimes in homes where you would least expect it, we have uncovered abuse. I want to tell you today that if you're going through a situation in which you are being abused, go for help. Sometimes there are those who are perhaps children, and children, you should go to someone who can help you. And of course, if you're in a marital relationship, you should go for help. But at the same time, I'd like to say something else today as well. Perhaps I am talking not to those who are abused, but to abusers. I have a word from you today from God. You need help. Stop what you are doing. Stop the self-justification. And stop thinking that you can change on your own. Today, I urge you to receive the help that comes from God and the help that comes from others, the body of Jesus Christ. We need to face this as a church, and we have to do it in openness and honesty.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, beginning The Roots of Rage, the fourth message in a series on Why Good People Do Bad Things. Tomorrow, we delve into the roots of rage in detail. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. You're hearing Why Good People Do Bad Things. This series is now a book, which we'd like to send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.